podcast today. So I really just want to give a huge shout out to all my listeners. I really appreciate everyone that is tuning back in, and to my new listeners, thank you all. We are here to talk about the things that are sometimes left unsaid. We're here to talk about controversial topics. We are really here to have a dialogue. So I hope y'all are ready to dive in today, okay? So let's go ahead and get started, y'all. But we are here. Okay. All right. What's good, everyone? We are back for another podcast today. I am super excited to be here with my sister, my soror, Treyana. I'm super excited to have her here for my podcast today because it's going to be lit. We having a great dialogue. So I'm going to pass it over to her so she can do a little introduction of who she is and tell you a little bit about herself. So Treyana, take it away.
Hey girl, thank you so much for having me. You know, I love to talk, so I'm ready to have a conversation today. Just a little bit about myself. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, but I do go to school in Ohio. I'm an environmental studies major and a biology minor. Your girl is trying to become an environmental lawyer because we don't see too many Black queens, Black women in that particular field. So I'm just out here trying to make it. And, you know, I'm down to talk today.
Period. Yes. I'm super excited. Like, you're going to get there. When you get there, I'm going to be like, yep, that's my girl, Treyana. Period. Okay. Environmental lawyer.
Period.
I ain't got nothing on her. Nothing on her. All right. So I'm excited. Okay. I love having dialogues, especially with Black queens as we are navigating this space. We're in unprecedented times right now. And all we are doing right now is really consuming a lot of social media. So that's going to be our segue into our topic today. We're going to be talking about how Black men are perceived on social media in terms of Black love, and then how that differs from the conversations that we have with people we know closely. So how that differs from conversations with our friends, family, etc., right? So I'm gonna share a little personal story that I had. Okay, so for me, I think just based off of my own personal experience, I went to a predominantly white high school. Let me go all the way back. I have been going to school with mostly white people since second grade, okay? So, you know, there's like five people in your class that are Black. Like, I could count all the Black people on my hand since I was in grade school. So for me, encountering Black men in that way, all I saw was Black men always going after the white women. So it was like they're always talking to the white girls. They're always trying to interact with them. It was never like, oh, this Black guy is acknowledging me. It was always other boys acknowledging me. But that was on some fetish stuff. But we're not going to talk about that today. But needless to say, like, that's what I saw. So I saw this post on social media that correlated with what I saw growing up by going to a predominantly white institution. So it was like, basically, Black men are always trying to go after women who are not of color. They're not people of color. So I was like, you know, I agree with that. That is very true. I agree with that. Lo and behold, here comes one of my good friends, good homies, was like, nope, I don't agree with that statement. That's not correct. That's not the actual statistic. And I was like, oh, really? And it was like really eye-opening because I think just having that perspective like made me very closed off from like the reality of what's actually going on within my own community. And I think that's when I started to really realize like the stuff that you see in social media, you really have to vet. Because honestly, when I started talking to and thinking about the conversations I had with so many Black men that I know in my life, I was like, yo, actually a lot of Black men that I know love Black women. And they will prefer to be with a Black woman because they know that a Black woman will understand their struggles as a Black man in society. And so it was just really interesting to have that dialogue. And then I found this other lady's page who was talking about, like, yeah, don't believe social media, because in reality, it's actually a lot of Black brothers that want to be with Black women. And it's like, we really have to take the time to get to know our own community, because social media, media in general, propaganda will lead us astray. But girl, what's your thoughts? What are you thinking about in terms of this topic? Like, where are you at?
You know what? Like, honestly, what I've seen from the media is, you know, the typical standards of elite Black men. And I think that's just something that we also have to take into, you know, much consideration when looking at how are Black women perceived and how is the idea of Black love perceived and reciprocated. I think oftentimes, and, you know, especially in the music industry, the entertainment industry altogether, there are a lot of our brothers that date a lot of white women. And it's almost as if we take that small percentage of men and we just automatically have this assumption that, okay, that applies to them. So this applies to the majority of Black men. And I think, you know, it's false. It's a false narrative. I've lived in a lot of communities since I was in elementary school, where I lived essentially in, you know, a residential area with people of color. So I had a good bit of Latinos and Black men to see for myself. And I just feel like you were saying, like what we hear from our neighbors are extremely different. So it's just like, why is there this discrepancy between, you know, what the media is portraying, but then what's actually out here, what we're hearing from our own brothers. And so I personally, girl, I just don't, I can't really give all my energy towards this narrative too much, because I look at people like Diddy and I'm just like, no, sir. You know, you know, like he couldn't even handle Lizzo twerking on the live. And it's just like, there's patterns to this. If there's no man in my life that makes that much money and he has that same stance, okay, we can talk about it. But I feel like to a certain degree, it's this exotic obsession a lot of these elite men have. That's the real discussion to me. That's the real tea. Because I, you know, I've spoken to my dad about this too. Like, we don't have the best relationship, but when it comes to things pertaining the image of Black love, you know, he tells me, you know, things like, you know, we're beautiful, it exists, it's out there, look at our family. And like a lot of the African Americans in my community, and I would say globally, if you look back down to like the family tree and the roots or whatnot, it shows that. So why is it that it's portrayed differently? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. I feel like it's something that you really have to come to realize, you know, because like I was saying, for me growing up in a predominantly white institution and seeing that small percent all the time, you know, I was seeing like five Black boys, literally. And if five Black boys, like it may just be five Black people in general, three boys, two girls, or vice versa. But it's just like that small percentage, that is what I was like equating what Black men were looking for in terms of a significant other. But as I got more in tune with my Black brothers and like my Black culture and the people that I talk to and being more ingrained in my community and having more Black friends and engaging more and having these challenging conversations, I started to realize like media is a hot ass mess when it comes to what's going on in the Black community.
Period.
Like if you aren't Black, you don't really know what's going on. So And that's the thing. It's like, and if you're so far removed from your community, you're not going to know what's going on either. So I definitely agree. Like, I've come to realize that it is a false narrative. Like, it's not necessarily true. Like, yeah, there are some Black men who would prefer to date outside of their race, but there are other Black men, Black brothers that are like, absolutely not. I want me a Black queen because she gonna know what I've been through. We're gonna be able to connect on a deeper level. And I've seen that just engaging with so many different people and having these dialogues. And also just like having dialogues with other Black men in terms of why they want to be with a Black woman, because it's mm-hmm. it's not the same. You're like, and I understand, you know, like even for me, it's the stuff that we go through as Black people, it's great. This, like, nobody is going to understand unless they're Black. Like, yep. You're not, like, you may be able to empathize with what I have been through, but you're never going to truly understand what it means to be Black in America, what it means to have every waking moment and corner, every nook and cranny and crevice of this world is against you, set up to make sure you don't succeed. You are never going to understand that unless you are Black. And so it's like to really have that connection with someone else who is striving to be great as well, who is striving to redefine these things that are supposed to be normal, that are supposed to hinder us from being great, to be able to be with someone who is on that similar journey is beautiful. And I think it's like, it's really nice that there's also these Black love pages that highlight that. And I think that's like kind of where I've started to drift my attention to, is really to go towards these pages that uplift Black love, that uplift the Black community, because we have to change the things that we're consuming in media. Because if we don't, we're going to be brainwashed by the propaganda. We're going to be brainwashed by those false narratives.
Oh, yes, girl. You are preaching to the choir. And like one thing I have noticed too, just like in general with the media, typically the media, they're asking the wrong questions. That's oftentimes what's happening. When you ask the wrong question, you're typically going to get the wrong answer. And then, you know, I think within that, there's a lot of assumptions that are made, and there's a lot of room for people to misuse or misunderstand the concept at hand. And I really do feel deeply that when looking at a lot of social media outlets, such as Instagram, right? There are a lot of people showcasing how wide of a range Black love goes and how deep that is. And I'm gonna have to say this. I'm ashamed that I haven't experienced it yet. I mean, granted, I'm in my early 20s, but, you know, sometimes I'm just like, you know, to a certain degree, like some of this Black love that has been around or have been heard of, does it really exist today? Like, there's just certain questions I feel like that have not been asked appropriately. And so we're just really basing it off of, okay, what is your preference? Do you like Black women? Do you like Black men? You know, and I think when we ask so narrow questions, it's just like, it's open-ended. Yes, no. And then you get offended or you have something to say about that preference, and it's just like, you know, how do you perceive it? That's really, I feel like, where a lot of media outlets and articles and the tabloids are lacking. And I just, it irritates me to the core, girl. Like, it really does. But I kind of need to get on your level on things a tad bit, because I would sit here and say, oh, I love to see my Black sister with a, you know, a Black brother. It's beautiful. But I don't necessarily go out to find that. And I think that's also part of, you know, making sure that we're clearing up some of these, you know, false narratives or whatnot, is to go out and try to find what does that look like for someone else. Because, you know, you never know. And I think people also need to realize that preferences do change. And so loving a Black man or loving a Black woman or white woman, hey, that's your prerogative. but don't speak on things that, you know, doesn't necessarily correlate with you deep down, you know what I mean? And I think that's why it fogs a lot of our images on concepts like this, because we're not really deep down thinking about how are we looking or envisioning something greater than ourselves, but something that has already existed. And what did that mean? And if it does exist today, what does that look like really? And I just think it just, I'm a researcher, so I look into things like this, but that's, you know, that's my take. That's my hot take.
I definitely agree though, you know, and I think doing the research, you know, is very important, because I also feel like a lot of people don't do that research in terms of trying to understand things for themselves. They will take whatever is there at face value. And so when we do look at social media, like, yeah, I look at social media and I see all these like beautiful Black couples and I'm like, yes, this is beautiful. I love to see it. But at the same time, I'm also taking that with a grain of salt, because in general, regardless if you are going to be with a Black man or a Black woman, whoever your partner or your significant other is going to be, relationships are still work. So it may look shiny on Instagram. They may look like all smiles, but they could have had an argument 2 days ago and had to sit and have a conversation and figure it out. So it's like, I feel like, you know, you also have to take that with a grain of salt and in the reality of things, you know, in terms of also looking at like Black love. And I think it's just like, also like seeking it out. I think that is very hard to do. Do you know what I'm saying? Like seeking out Black love, that's a whole task, sis. like seeking out Black love, like I just think seeking out love in general is a lot, but like seeking out Black love, like, I don't know. That's a whole task to be like, I'm seeking out my Black king. I think like for me, I'm just like a more of a romantic person. Like, I'm just like, it's going to happen when it's going to happen. Like, somebody just going to pop in my life, because it's like, you know, but also COVID is kind of messing that up, because you can't really go out and like really meet people like
right.
that. So it's just like, how that going to happen though? But I don't know. It gets real complicated. I feel like we're in a very interesting time, because I feel like a lot of people's relationships are either flourishing right now. People are either somehow finding people and flourishing. Other people's relationships are falling apart. People having babies. There's a lot happening right now in the midst of COVID and in the midst of Black love and within the Black family dynamic. And it's a lot. But I also know that there is a lot of beauty coming out of these crazy times. Just seeing a lot of like Black families and Black love, like how it's flourishing and what people are doing to make sure that they're uplifting their community through this time. It's really beautiful. But yeah, Black love is a very interesting topic, because I feel like you can go on so many different avenues with how you tackle this concept and this topic, because it's so large. And Black love looks different, because we just scratched the surface of saying Black love in terms of, you know, how there could be that preference of a Black man wanting to date outside of his race, but we haven't even touched the part of like colorism within the Black community. Like, that's a whole nother topic in itself in terms of Black love, you know, that's a whole nother layer. So there's a lot. And even going back to kind of something we had talked about earlier about even Black women and having this idea that Black women got an attitude, or having these narratives about Black women that Black men have internalized about us as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a lot of like, we've internalized these stereotypes, we've internalized this propaganda, we've internalized these false narratives, and we're projecting them onto each other. And that's how we end up in a situation where it's like, oh, she just don't understand me. But it's like, have we taken the time to sit down as a community and have a collective conversation and talk about what false narratives, what stereotypes do you think you may have internalized that aren't true? Mm-hmm. Like, are we having those conversations to really help each other unlearn these things that are detrimental to the survival of our community and our people and the uplifting of Black love?
Absolutely. Like, when I say I see, I'm picking up what you're putting down, sis. And just going based off of, like, you know, vulnerability, like, within this, like, time in this time of our lives, I kind of feel like it's just so amazing to see how transcendent some of the relationships have become that you wouldn't really expect. Like, for instance, I know with me, my parents are divorced. They were separated for the longest, but they finally filed for divorce and got everything settled like a year ago. And mm-hmm. I think it's amazing that, you know, to this day, even though there was rough patches within that relationship, given the pandemic, they were still mature enough and, you know, caring enough to reach out to one another and ask how they're doing. And just to even go more in depth about, you know, this idea of Black love, I think a lot of children, including myself at times, we're so lost with this concept because it doesn't flourish within our own family sometimes. Like, in short, because of, you know, affairs or, you know, some type of unloyal thing that was done. And so, or betrayal. And so it's kind of hard sometimes to even really think about, okay, just as a concept, how am I supposed to even understand what this is where I've been in this situation where I don't even know what that looks like. And so I just find it so crazy that, you know, there are people that are in those situations that try to go forth and, you know, kind of put everything aside, all feelings aside and emotions aside, and looking at it at the surface, like, okay, this is what it was for me. And it's going to be different from every person. But I think the main problem is a lot of people don't really think about collectively, all right, in my family, this is what it might have looked like. I have no clue what it looks like. And like you said earlier, you made a great point. Like, going out there, seeking this, trying to find that, that is hard. Like, you know, especially with this pandemic. But like, mm-hmm. when it comes to you, how am I supposed to know? Like, is this it? Like, you know, like, what is it that makes this sustainable or makes this even worthwhile? You know?
Yeah. And I think that just comes back to really understanding what a healthy relationship is in general, mm-hmm. you know? Because I think, like, regardless if you Black, white, Hispanic, Latinx, whatever you identify as, it really comes back to having a healthy relationship. Are you able to communicate with your partner, your significant other, and say, hey, these are my boundaries. These are the things that I need in order to feel appreciated, in order to feel loved, in order to feel accepted. Are you comfortable enough to have those conversations? Because I think it's also like, you have to be comfortable to be like, hey, this is what I need to feel loved and appreciated. This is when I don't feel loved and appreciated. Like, and I think it's just being willing to have those communication points and learning those communication points and learning how to navigate space with someone else in this world. And I think that's a lot. And I think also as Black people, we're getting together and there's so much past trauma like attached to our lives, mm-hmm. to our journeys. And when we come together, you know, as much as I want to say like, yeah, I am in my early 20s, right? So I still have a lot of learning to do. So I know that as I go on in life, they're probably going to come up a whole bunch of traumas that I never thought I had. And something's going to provoke them or bring them out. And I'm going to be like, wait a minute. Whoa. Now I got to figure this out. But it's just like, in reality, there's so much trauma that we have yet to unpack. like, even for me, you know, like you said, my parents are also divorced. And the whole thing and the whole situation that came with, like, my parents' divorce and the stuff that I went through as a child, that was very traumatic for me, mm-hmm. and something that I brushed off. But it came back to bite me in the behind when I was in college. And it was like, girl, you can no longer run from this. Like, you have to literally deal with how you're feeling around your childhood, around the emotions you had from that experience, because it's literally tearing you down. Like, if you don't figure it out, like, you're not gonna make it. Like, and that's kind of, I was forced and pushed to that point of, like, let me sit down and deal with my past traumas.
Right.
And I feel like that's why it's like, for me, it is so important to really deal with your personal traumas. I don't like using the word demon. I don't really like that. So I'm not going to, we're going to X-nay on that, but I'm just going to use traumas. I was going to use that, but then I was like, no, abort mission. So trauma, you know, it's like, we really have to be honest with ourselves. And I think it's hard to be honest. It's very hard. And I think, like, in the Black community, sometimes it's, and I think, it's easy to, instead of being like, you know what, let's be real with ourselves and talk about our trauma, it's easy to try and, like, brush it off because there's this narrative of us having to be strong. Like, you know, of us having to, like, carry the weight of the world and all these burdens and everything on our back. And it's like, no, honey, if you need to cry, cry. If you need to scream, scream. If you need to say, cut people off for the sake of your sanity, do so. And I think it's like, we need to really honor that and uplift that we are no longer slaves. Like, we have choices. And it's like, yes, no matter what, this system is going to try its best to keep us down. It's going to try its best to enslave us in some different form. But I do feel like we do have a choice in terms of how we show up mentally and emotionally to spaces. You know, it's like, yeah, these spaces may not be made for us, but if we show up in a way that is courageous, that's very real and in tune with who we are, then we're going to be able to tackle it in such a better way. Because I think when we're honest with ourselves and be like, hey, look, I'm really about to lose my shit right now, if you don't back up on my face, that's fine to, like, honor that, because that is a real emotion. And I think allowing us to do that and allowing those moments in our relationships to be like, hey, I'm going to be real vulnerable and real honest with you. I am having a moment. I'm not very happy. I'm very upset. And I need some space. Like, if we're able to do that, I think that will definitely help in terms of preserving our relationships within Black love. But it's really just us getting used to talking about it, because I just feel like we also have never really had that space in that moment to talk about what is Black trauma,
mm-hmm.
and how does that affect us when we show up in our relationships.
Amen to that, girl. Preaching to the choir, period. But I have a question for you, though. Do you think that, you know, because a lot of our trauma is evident, that this is one of the advantages that the media has on us or on the concept of Black love?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Honestly, I do think they leverage our trauma to really manipulate how we feel, to further manipulate how we feel about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they do that because it's like, you know, if you have had a traumatic experience, and for instance, like, anything can be a trauma. Like, I can label my childhood and interacting with growing up in a predominantly white area and only knowing, like, 2-3 Black boys out of my entire class, and them never, like, having a desire for me as a Black woman, that could be a trauma in terms of how I felt about myself.
Right.
Me internalizing that particular situation, right? And it's, in terms of that, they're now thriving. Media is now thriving off of this, because then when I see something like, oh yeah, Black men this, then I've internalized this narrative about my Black men, about my Black brothers. And now I'm out here perpetuating it, not really knowing that my Black, you know, not really knowing that my Black brothers don't feel that way until mm-hmm. I actually have a dialogue. And I think that's the thing. It's also like, it's important. That's why it's so important to have that connection to the Black community. Because if I did not have friends and homies and whatever you want to call them that I could talk to about these issues and say like, hey, like, how do you feel about Black women? Like, hey, do you date Black women? Like, if that wasn't the case for me, then I would still be over here talking shenanigans in my narrative. But because that's the case, like, it's definitely changed my perspective and made me look more deeper into how Black men actually feel. But I definitely think the media definitely utilizes that to their advantage.
Yeah, I do too, girl, because I just get so frustrated with this additional like sublayer and narrative that, you know, you can't trust a Black man. Like, you know, it's like, where is all of this coming from? And it's very easy to spot one's vulnerable spot. And I definitely think there's this social capital that the media has from that. And mm-hmm. it's just irritating sometimes to know that, you know, we're being portrayed in a way where it's just like we're constantly having to say something negative about one another. And there's barely anything positive from that. I've seen too many blogs, like, even in my hometown, where I'm just like, was this necessary? We could have easily had a little bootleg red table talk about this, then this be publicized, you know?
Bootleg table?
You know, pull up at the porch or something, you know? But at the end of the day, I just kind of feel like some of this is so internalized, yet it's publicized mm-hmm. in a light that is so unhealthy and detrimental to our mental state and our physical state. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. Like, that's a whole nother layer, especially in terms of like people really taking to social media to post about their relationship issues, and then people hooping and hollering, and you just look at somebody's post and be like, things ain't going right with her and her man, or he mad right. at her. Like, I should not be able to look at your Instagram and know all your business. Like, that's the thing. Like, I should not be able to look at Instagram and be like, oh, so you and him not good no more? Or you and her not good no more? What happened? Like, mm-hmm. it should not be that issue. But then at the same time, you also have to have a level of respect, because I Absolutely. Think social media can really come in between people's relationships. Like, social media can, especially like if, you know, people post things on social media and then, you know, the DMs is real. So people be under your post in your DMs doing all these things. So if there's not that trust, social media can create a bridge within your relationship, but you have to have that trust and know like, oh, like, yeah, I know my said person is bomb, blah 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 blah, but I know that at the end of the day, if anybody's in her messages or in his messages or vice versa, whatever, that I got trust and there isn't going to be an issue. So social media is something that's like detriment, it's such a gray area, but it's like it can be very detrimental to the relationship in so many different components. Like, people share their business too much, or you just not faithful, and now people got to worry about you being everybody in their mama's DMs.
Say that
and
again, it's like, girl.
Like, ain't nobody got time for that. Like, that's the thing. And it's just, aside from Black love, there's like, I don't know what it is with like, I feel like within our generation, like me just encountering a lot of younger Black men and just a lot of young men in general, I don't know what it is about our generation about wanting to be hoes and thoughts and have like six different women they talking to, main one, side pieces. It's just too much. I'm like, what is going on? Like,
you better tell.
First of all, how do y'all have time for all of this? That's like a whole nother component. Like, it's just, that's a whole nother topic for another day. But because that was AF. Look, that be having me bent because I just don't understand. I'm like, I got too much going on to be trying to talk to six different people at once. Like, I just don't have that time. And two, I don't have the emotional capacity to be talking to that many people because it's emotional. Like, people, and no matter what you say, the reason you keep coming back to certain people is because there is something that you're attracted to, something that you are drawn to, yep, that is keeping you there with that person. Whether that be that you like to be with them physically, whether that be you like to have some type of companionship, or you're emotionally like linked to them, there's some reason that you keep going back to these people. Like, and I'm like, people just be like, oh, it's whatever. No, it's not whatever. Like, you are out here interacting with people and creating ties that you don't even understand. And then you be wondering why your aura and all your situations is messed up. Yeah, because you've been out here with Sally and everybody else. Like, calm down. I don't know. It's just a lot. But needless to say, girl, we didn't cover a lot of ground today. So it's been great talking to you. Before we end the podcast today, is there anything that you want to leave the audience with in terms of inspiration or any go-tos or any social media that you want people to follow you at or anything you want to leave the audience with? We're going to end with that before we close out for today.
Yes, girls. So I'm going to just leave it at this. And I came up with this maybe like 3 days ago or something. This is what I have to say for every situation that is done incorrectly. When someone is hurt, something was done wrong. Do not misuse your rights. When you done cheated on your man, you done misused your rights. You know, when you're telling yourself you are not worthy of whatever you need and want in life, don't misuse your rights. Your main right on this earth is to maximize your worth. Do not belittle it. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to always keep it a stat 100. You can always follow your girl at Tribrinz, that is T-R-A, B as in boy, R-I-N-Z, on Instagram. I'm always up for a discussion. And girl, I have to thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy and a pleasure speaking to you. That's my soror. That's my soror. So I really thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. I am about to latch onto that. All right, y'all heard it here. The goal is to maximize your worth.
Period.
Like, we're gonna leave it with that. Resonate in that. Bask in that comment. Okay, maximize your worth. Thank you so much for joining in with me, and we will be back for another episode because you know we love to have a great conversation, y'all. All right, talk to y'all soon. And that's that. Thanks for listening. And remember to have a conversation with yesterday and have a discussion with tomorrow.